be preaching revival, and the youth will be coming home Saturday, so remember that, and the pastor will be coming home Monday probably. We're having Brother Mitch Knupp. He'll be here all day Sunday, so Sunday school teachers, we're all going to stay in the sanctuary, so I don't worry about preparing a lesson for this week. Remember those that are traveling, remember the sick and afflicted, the prayer. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 27. While Brother John's passing these out, Brother D came in and cut the lights on, amen. Well, yes, we're here in the dark. I didn't realize. You can't do nothing without the deacon, amen. Up here in the dark. He said, man, what are these bunch of devils doing here in the dark? Matthew chapter 27. It's good to be down at the church, I say. I don't mind going to work, but I generally don't feel this good when I'm going to work. I feel pretty good I come down to the church house, so amen. Amen. Matthew 27. Be much in prayer for Brother Mitch and Miss Ronnie. They'll be traveling down here and pray that God will give them the word that the church needs. Remember us, we'll be traveling Sunday morning, be back Sunday night. A lot of things to be praying for. Look at Matthew chapter number 27. We're going to start in verse number 3. Then Judas. Not a whole lot of Judases nowadays, is it? There's some Peters and some James and some Johns. Old Judas, he just ruined that name, didn't he? Then Judas, which had betrayed him, this him being Jesus Christ, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field, and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. So they took the money, they couldn't put it in the treasury, it's the price, they admitted it was the price of blood. So they bought this field with, to bury strangers in. In verse number 8, wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. So they valued him, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to Judas and to these Israel, to these people, his value was 30 pieces of silver. Title message tonight is Selling Out the Good Things of God. Brother D'Angelo, you pray for us, brother. Help us here tonight, Lord. We love you, Lord. Touch us and help us, Lord. So here we have Judas. He sold out. You hear people talk about selling out, and sometimes they mean it in a good way. Selling out for God is a good thing. That just means you take your all and you give it to God. But Judas sold out, but not in a good way. He sold God out. God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he sold him. He sold his life for money. For filthy, stinking money. Now, we've all got to have money because we all have bills to pay. But God helped someone that will sell out God for money. And he got 30 pieces of silver. It wouldn't have been one bit different if he got every piece of money in the entire world. it would have been no less of a crime. It would have been no less sin involved. He sold God out for money. Look at verse number 4 with me. He said, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. You see that? You believe every word in your King James Bible means something? He didn't say, I have sold innocent blood. He said, the innocent blood. You know who's the only person that's ever lived that had innocent blood? It was Jesus Christ. Mine and your blood is tainted. Adam and Eve was created perfect. They sin is passed down upon all people. But Jesus Christ had innocent blood. You said he sold out the innocent blood. The only man that never sinned. And Judas Christ, Jesus sold out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now after he sold him out, he was sorry. Many times the world is sorry. People do things and they get caught, they're in prison and they're sorry. And they repent and they're sorry. And they get themselves in bad situations and they're sorry. Look what the Bible says. Look at verse number 3 with me. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when did he repent? After he saw he was condemned. Look what it says. It said, repented himself. Himself. He was sorry he got caught. Now compare that with Acts 20 and 21. Where you show repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference in godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Everybody's sorry when they get caught. Everyone's sorry when they're condemned to prison or condemned to die. Everyone's sorry. They repent. But godly sorrow is repentance towards God, whether anybody catches you or not. Look at verse number 6. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. That same blood that bought mine and your pardon, these men valued, according to the Bible, at 30 pieces of silver. That pure, precious, sinless blood, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, that saved your soul, that guarantees you a place in heaven. These men valued it at 30 pieces of silver. I started to look and see how much that would be in today's money, but it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it's everything. He sold him out. You know, you and I have to be careful not to sell out the good things that God's given us. And he's given us some good things. You and I sit here tonight, we have problems, we have issues, we have family issues, we have health issues, we have problems. But I testify to you tonight, God's been good to us. There is not a person in here, no matter what you're going through, that in some way, shape, form, or another, God has been good to you. And you and I must be careful not to sell out the good things of God, because sometimes when you sell something, you just can't get it back. Now that's not good TV preaching. Now we serve a God, a merciful God. We serve a God of grace. You've heard it said he's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of the third and 90th and 10,000th chance. But sometimes if you sell some things in your life, things come to pass, you reap what you sow, and if you sell something out, you just might not be able to get it back. And you and I have to be careful with the things that God has given us. And he's given us so much. We would give it all. Like Paul, offer our bodies a burnt sacrifice. You know what it would be? Compared to what God's given us, it would be nothing. If all we ever did was pray to Him and worship Him and work for Him, you know what it would be compared to what He's given us? It'd be a drop in the ocean, wouldn't it? God's been good to us. But you and I must be careful not to sell out the good things that God's given us. You know what this world wants you to do? Sell out the good things that God's given you. You know what that devil wants? You know what the devil hates? If you love God and belong to God, he hates you. I don't care if you're 6 months old or 600,000 years old. The devil hates you. If you the devil hates God, and if you belong to Him and you love God and God loves you, and you know what? The devil hates you. You know what the devil wants you to do? Sell out the good things that God's given you. You know what your flesh wants to do? Sell out the good things that God's given you. We got to be careful. So what are some things that you and I must be careful to not sell? Turn to 2 Kings with me. We're going to start here. 2 Kings, Old Testament Scripture. 2 Kings. Be careful of a man that never goes through the Old Testament. Be careful of a man that lives in the Old Testament. Either one of them will lead you astray. 2 Kings chapter number 17. 2 Kings chapter number 17. Look in verse number 16 with me. The Bible says, "And they," it's God's people, Israel, "left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven." That's an awful thing, isn't it? "And serve Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments." Look what verse 17 says. "And sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." You know what you and I need to be careful? We need to be careful not to sell ourselves to do evil. You say, "Brother, I've come too far for that." If a man think he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. You know what sin is? Sin's a creeping disease. Some diseases hit you instantly and you know it. Some diseases, you've had it for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years before a symptom even shows up. Sin is a creeping disease. It eats at the bones before it manifests itself on the outside. Sin never starts big. It's like the Demas and the Demas and the Brother Jeff Thomas Demas, amen. Somebody said they had that thing backwards because you started Brother Jeff. He looked pretty good. If you had me down there, my hair done fell out and I old fat. And sin never starts like that. Sin creeps in and you don't realize it. It's a creeping disease. It's like one of them pythons that just strangles you. And every time you let out a little breath, it gets a little bit tighter. You let out breath and it gets tighter and you can't ever get that breath back. That's the way sin is. It's a creeping disease. You and I, as born again Christians, need to be careful to not sell ourselves to do evil. These people knew God. They were God's people. Look at verse 16. Look what they did. "And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God." You know what you start doing first? Start laying down what He said to do. We know what He said to do. But we start laying it down. And every time you lay something down, guess what? It gets easier to lay the next thing down. It gets easier to lay the next thing down. That's like, I think when you're building buildings, I've seen it done. Brother D'Angelo can tell you, if you're going to build a building of brick, you start on the corners. Any idiot like me can lay them brick in the middle. But you got to have some sense to lay the corners, amen. It starts out and it creeps in. You lay it down, you lay it down and look at it. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made the molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. You know what it does? They left the commandments, it crept in. They changed what they worshiped. They didn't like it that way anymore. I don't like them old songs. They're too slow. Let's pick it up a little bit. Why can't we have them other instruments? Why can't we have those other Bibles? Why can't we do what everyone else does? Look at verse number 17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Know what it goes to? It goes to your children. They're going to do exactly what you're going to do. If you're going to come here and worship and serve God right here, those kids, that's all they're ever going to know. You can go right down the street where they're rock and rolling in the disco light, the smoke, and you know what? They're going to fall right in on that thing. They're going to do exactly what mama and daddy is going to tell them to do. Now, if you don't tell them how good it is, they might even like it. Amen. They're going to do exactly what you do. They sold their children. That's how this sin works, right? And then they turned themselves over completely to do evil. Man, God's got a better plan for you and I than that. And we know it. We know it. And I'm not accusing anyone of anything in here. But I'm saying you and I have to be careful to not sell ourselves to do evil. We have to be aware of the devil and his devices and how he works. Be aware that sin is a creeping thing. Turn to Romans chapter 6 with me. Let me show you something. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Well, it's hard. I know it's hard. I have a flesh just like you do. My flesh has desires. But if we're not careful, we'll let our flesh have the run of it. We'll be sitting in the church house and showing up when we're supposed to and listen like we're supposed to. But we'll be laying down the commandments of God and yielding ourselves to our flesh. And our flesh will have dominion and sin will have dominion over us. And that's not God's plan for His people. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, them Yankees can understand that reckoning. You go on fishing, I reckon so. We understand that, don't we? They have to go to the Greek for that, them Yankees, man. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed under sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, that means you have the option, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The Bible says, yield not to unrighteousness. Let not it reign in your mortal bodies. That means if you're saved, you have a choice. But yield yourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness. Do the right thing. Look what verse 14 says. For sin shall not. It don't say might not. If you yield yourself unto God as instruments unto righteousness, the Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The grace of God is sufficient. And we will yield ourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness, sin will not, shall not have dominion in our lives. Hallelujah. Yield yourself. Don't sell yourself. There's a man. He's a United States senator. And he says that he's a preacher. And he says that he's a pastor. And I've heard some excerpts of the man's sermons. And the man sounds like a preacher. I wish I could sound like that. He sounds a... But he says he's a pastor of a church. He says he's a pastor of a Baptist church. That's what he says. But the man believes wicked things. That's what he believes. And every time he votes on that Senate floor, you can see that he believes wicked things. He doesn't believe what the Bible says. He doesn't care what God says in His book. He's going His own way. He sold Himself to do evil is what the man's done. He's calling good evil and evil good is what the man's doing. God said it's wrong for a man to lay with a man as like womankind. And He's saying it's all right that everyone has a right, natural born right to do that. And it's wicked. Amen. It's wicked. He's saying that it's all right to abort an unborn child. That people have a right to do that. God's saying murder is evil and wicked, and He's saying it's good and you have a natural born right. He claims to be a preacher and he claims to be a pastor, but he has sold himself unto sin. It's what he's done. He's a black man. I am not a black man. I'm a white man. I'm about white a man you're going to find. If you look up white boy in a dictionary, I'm in there grinning. I'm pretty white. I don't know what it's like to be a black man. I don't have any idea. I don't understand what it's like to be a black man. But I do know this. It wasn't long ago in our nation's history when slavery was the rule of law. And you talk about this and sometimes Southern people get upset about it. It was the rule of law. No matter what the cause was, no matter who was doing what, it was the rule of law. And most black people in the country didn't own themselves. They were owned by someone else. And if that man that owned him decided the husband was sold, he was sold and had to go. And if he decided the wife was sold, then the wife was sold, she had to go. Or the children were sold, they were sold, they had to go. When the families were busted up, they had no control over their own lives. So my line of thinking is, if it wasn't that long ago, and he's a black man, his people were part of that, he ought to understand being sold. That man has sold himself to do evil. You know what you and I need to be careful of as God's children? To not sell ourselves to do evil. Turn to Genesis 25 and let me show you another. Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. This is a man here. We've all heard the name. We all know who he is. It's Esau, the red man. This angel said, amen. He was a red-headed man. Look at Genesis 25. Look at verse number 29. The Bible says, and Jacob sawed pottage. So he's cooking this vegetable stew without the hamburger meat, amen. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, which was a flat-footed lie. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Look what the Bible says. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know what you and I need to be careful to not do? Sell our birthright. Need to be careful. If you've been born again by the grace of God, you have a great birthright. That birthright's not something you earn. It's something given of God. Esau was the firstborn child. He came out first. And it came with special rights from God. And the Bible says he despised it. And he sold it for a bowl of pottage. You and I that have been born again by the grace of God, we have a great birthright. We're no longer children of wrath. We are children of the King. Not any king. The King of kings and Lord of lords. God Almighty, Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a great birthright. We are children of the King. Listen to me. Don't sell it to the world. By birthright, what it should have been was Abraham and Isaac and Esau. You know what it is? What are you reading in the Bible? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Bible says in the book of Romans that God hated Esau and loved Jacob. He hated him because he knew what he was going to be. When Rebekah was pregnant, it said there are two nations in thy womb. What should have been never was, because he sold his birthright for nothing. Nothing. I like a good bowl of soup, but I ain't paying no stinking $20 for it. I'll pay that for a steak, but I ain't paying it for no bowl of soup. That man sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. This is my wife's favorite book in the Bible, Hebrews. I make the coffee every morning. She makes coffee, so that just don't taste right. I make the coffee every morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 16. Hebrews 12 and 16. The Bible says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You know what Esau did? He sold his birthright. And he was sorry and he repented and he cried. But you know what? It was a done deal. He couldn't get it back. You and I, as God's children, have a great heritage. It's our birthright. This is our birthright. This King James Bible. Somebody can read a new King James all you want to. I don't care. Help yourself. This is my heritage. This is God's words. The very words of God. spoken by holy men of God. They were recorded. They've been preserved in this English King James Bible. It's my heritage. It's your heritage. Don't we have a heritage of? We have a heritage of prayer. We can read all through the Bible. God's people prayed and God moved. And we've seen prayers in our life. We prayed and God's moved. It's a heritage. You know what else our heritage is? It's our church. We are a part of the body of Christ and God has placed us here in this local church to worship and serve God. We got the best church there is. Michael Carpenter, the best preacher in the world that pulled on a pair of boots today. Just is. I don't care what nobody thinks about it. You have to say it. There's probably other churches that think their pastor is the best preacher. Hey, it's America. You can be wrong all you want to. He's the best there is. Not only is he the best preacher, he's the best pastor. Amen. Some people are great preachers, but they just fumble-footed with people. They're not good pastors. There are some people that are great pastors, and I wouldn't turn around three times and walk across that street to hear them preach. They're like me. They just can't preach. We have the best preacher and the best pastor at our church. We got the best people of any church in this world. I don't care what nobody says. We got the best music, and we got the best instruments, and we sing the best songs. We got the best of everything. Our women's the best cooks. They just are. Our yard, when we kid, our yard looks better than everybody else's church yard. It just looks better. We got the prettiest girls. We got the prettiest little girls. We got the meanest little boys. Our church is the best. It's a heritage that God's given to us. And we don't need to sell it out to this world for a stinking bowl of pottage. Some of y'all got three generations in here tonight. You hear what I'm saying? If you ain't never shouted in your life, you ought to stand up and shout down the glory that God's allowed you to see three generations of your family in this church. Some of you got four generations in here. What kind of, you know what that is? That's a heritage. It's a heritage. I never met Brother West, but I sure met all the rest of them. They make kind of people, amen. Four generations standing on stage picking a guitar and singing. You know what that is? That's a heritage. It's a birthright. It's a gift from God is what it is. We don't need to sell it out for this stinking world. Well, how did he sell out? How did that happen? He put emphasis on the wrong things. You begin to sell out your birthright. Might be money. Some people love money. Might be position, might be possessions, might be education, might be athletics. People put too much emphasis on the wrong things. They put emphasis on the things of this world, on carnal things rather than on spiritual things. That's what happened with Isaac and Esau. Go back and read the story. Bible says that Isaac loved Esau. That's why he loved him. Because he ate of his venison. He was a man of the field. And Isaac loved that thing. He was a man's man. Poor homie Jacob hanging around the house there all the time. Every time Isaac turned around, he bumped into him. Get out of the way, boy! You know mama's going to love that one. But he was a profane man, is what he was. He went out and married a Hittite woman. It was great grief to his father. And his father had put all this emphasis on these things. It didn't amount to a hill of beans. He was a profane man. When it come right down to it, he was still going to give him the blessing. Let me tell you something. You have a great birthright if you are a born again child of the King. You have a great heritage. We need to hold on to that heritage and love God and serve God and not sell it down the river for a bunch of stuff this old world has to offer. That we can put into our bodies or put onto our bodies. I know a man right now got a couple sons. He's proud to death of them. They've done pretty good in this old world, and they got possessions, and one of them's ungodly, always been ungodly, and the other one's getting more ungodly every day. But he's proud of them because they have position. Everyone knows them. They have things and possessions and good old boys. There's nothing godly about them. One of them for sure. Don't sell out your heritage. Don't sell out your birthright. God's been too good to us. Turn to Joel chapter 3 with me. Number 3. Joel chapter 3. Find the book of Daniel and Hosea. And you'll find the book of Joel. Joel chapter number 3. I tell you, God's been good to us. We go a lot of places. See a lot of things, meet a lot of people. God's been good to us, folks. Despite the isms and the schisms and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, we've got a good group of people here that love God and love one another. Got a good pastor in his family. We've got a good heritage. We've got a good birthright. Need to be careful. What else we have here? We have a lot of children. Praise God. We go some places, everybody in there has got blue hair. If you got blue hair, I ain't picking on you, amen. At least you got some hair. I ain't even got no hair. Everybody's in there is old. Thank God for the older saints. They're trying to keep the fire burning. But you go places, there are no children. Then somebody moan and complain about the children. They too loud. They get gone, I bet you that silence will be really loud. Yeah, need to be careful with the children. Need to love the children. Need to pray for the children, help the children. Need to spank the children, amen. I ain't going to beat your child, but if you beat them, I'm all right with it, amen. It's your child. They need some of that, right? They need some love. They need some correction. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. That's what training is. Like training a dog. You can't call my baby a dog. You don't train a dog in one day. It takes time. Same thing with a child. It takes years. Train up a child, what the Bible says. Look at Joel chapter 3, verse number 3. Bible says, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. You know what these wicked people had done? They had sold their children. No, we need to be careful not to. We need to be careful not to sell our children. Now, every dollar in this world, all put together, isn't worth one of these children right here. I'm just saying. What does it matter if we accumulate everything this world has to offer and lose one of our children over? People chasing money, people chasing things, people chasing entertainment. You know what the sad part is? They're dragging their kids around with them. Hey, let me tell you this one. If all you ever do is get hurt at church, every time you come, don't turn your back on God and on the church and sell your children out. That's what you're doing. Ain't right getting hurt at church. We should be careful to not hurt one another. And it's not physical. We can see somebody coming. If they're red in the face, going to punch us in the eye, right? Might can get away. It's that tongue, that thing that's set on fire of hell. That's what we hurt people with. But if all you ever do every time you come down to the church house is get hurt, don't turn your back on God. Don't turn your back on the church because it's only going to hurt your children. That's who it's going to hurt. You probably some mean. We might not care that much if you go on. But don't take the children, amen. You know what you can do? This is a sobering thought. You can sell other people's children. Ain't nobody selling my baby. Yeah, you can. You know these children are watching you. You know these children are depending on you. These children are depending on seeing you in your seat, in your place, hearing your voice. Well, I don't do a whole lot around here. You got a Sunday school class. You know what God's given you? He's given you a handful of precious little children's souls to work with. And when they roll up in that classroom on Sunday morning, you know what they expect? They expect to see you. You know what's going to happen? You get mad and head off down the road in a huff. You know what's going to happen? It's going to hurt them little children. They're watching. And this is a sore subject, but the nursery. Lord, help us, Jesus. My wife's best friend come from the nursery. I ain't my wife's best friend. He come from the nursery, amen. That's the best friend. Little Sawyer's your best friend. You know what that is? I'm sure it's a lot of headache. But it's a couple of souls, a few little souls of children. You know what's going to happen? If you get mad and head down the road, they're going to miss you. It's going to hurt them. Oh, I got in, didn't get in a tiff, but I got kind of down one time. We used to preach at nursing homes a lot. And I got in a little bit of a spiritual funk, and I was just sick of that thing. If you never preached in a nursing home, you don't know what I'm talking about. That's some tough sledding right there, dog. There ain't no smiling faces smiling at you. Ain't no amens. That is some tough. Ain't no singing. I went by myself. I can't want. Had to. Oh, it was awful. I ain't had Brittany, Brother John. It was awful. And I got in a funk about that thing. I said, man, I'm tired of going down there to them people. And God smote my heart one day. I'm going to paraphrase. He said, you bum. He didn't call me that, but I kind of felt like that's what it was. He said, I give you people down there and they souls just like everybody else. And they come out in that room and sit there and they want to hear you preach that Bible. And they might get it, they might not, but they're a soul. They're a person. Jesus died for them too. He just smoked. He smoked me under the fifth rib. Man, that thing got my heart. Did me some good, though. These homeschool days we have, these youth nights we have, these camping trips that the men, I ain't going on a camping trip. It's too hot and sweaty and stinky. But you men that go on the camping trips, these boys, they're watching. And they're seeing you and they're watching you and they're watching your faithfulness and they're learning from that. You can tell a child to do anything you want to, but if you do the opposite, that's what they're going to wind up doing. They're watching your faithfulness. You may not have a microphone on, but listen to him. You're doing a great work for God. Don't sell out the children. Heard a saying one time, you know what it said? Girl said one time, she said, little corn has big ears. They might be little children, but buddy, they are picking up every word you say. I can't hear nothing my wife says. She always tell me to pick up this and clean that and do that. No, I ain't hear none of that. But every word that falls off your lips, those children are hearing it. Every word. Folks, we got a great heritage. We got to be careful to not sell ourselves into sin. We got to be careful to not sell our birthright. Listen, we have to be careful to not sell the children. One more verse of scripture and we're done. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. The easy one to remember, Proverbs 23 and 23. Proverbs 23 and 23. We're talking about not selling the good things of God. Don't sell the good things God's giving you. Look at Proverbs 23 and 23. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. God's given you truth. God's given us a heritage. God's given us blessings. God's given us so many good things. Listen to me. don't sell the good things of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're just going to take a minute here. Give you opportunity to pray if you want to.